All right. Welcome to the Question Will Be Ever podcast. Please don't forget to follow us on Instagram at @_QBPC. Also, give us 5 stars on iTunes, Stitcher, and everywhere they got stars. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel. I'm not sure if the button is down here or up here, but just click all the corners and you'll find it. It's right here. All right, everybody. We got Chris Rivers in the building at SOBs. He's headlining tonight. So we're going to kick off his performance, his headlining day, with an interview on the Question of Behavior. So I want to start off with your latest album, Gitu.
Yes.
Last time we sat down for a little bit, you told me that was your most complete album. So explain to me why you think personally that is.
I think as artist, like, I think it's shown the most growth between any other like project that I have. It's been 2 years to the project before that, DeLorean. Mm-hmm. And I think that overall it's you get a more sense of me through it. Like, you get who I am. It's not just me rapping my ass off. Like, it's genuinely me making songs that have either feels or moods, emotions attached, stories, and shit that lets you know me better. And I think as a whole piece, like a body of work, it's the most cohesive. Like, it all sounds like it's in the same world. You get the feel of it. Like, a lot of my other projects, it kind of sounds like songs, like, put together, you know what I mean? Like,
instead of like a full project from beginning to end, it feels like a lot of songs.
Yeah, this is the first one I could personally listen to from front to back, and it all, you know, it all feels right. The transition is smooth. So not to say the other ones didn't have that, but I think that I've increased my artistry in every way, so that this one really shows the growth, and it actually came through well translated.
Yeah. Would you say this is one of the first projects that you put together that way, in a sense of like you should listen to it from beginning to end? The moment Osmond Benjamin steps in the building, by the way, I'm expecting he walks slowly from there to there, and I'm like, he's about to interrupt the interview and say some bullshit.
0.6 miles per hour. It's just natural. Yeah. Natural. No. Yo, it is. Dragons up, baby. All day. $50 a piece. You know what I'm
saying? There you go. Order that online too.
Yeah. Definitely. 30,000 stitches, man. Each time for every time I said I love all of you. But yeah, so basically with this one, I was the most involved. Like, other projects, I was just wearing the artist hat, like the rapper hat, I would say. This one, I was there for all the production. I'm hands in that. I set up the show, my release show last time. I set that up, and like, it's just been so much actual hands on this. I created all the merch, like, doing so. Now, since I think I'm so involved in it, it really translates well. Like, there's way more of me in it, and when I made it, I guess just that extra effort and extra care and extra hands on this really made it sound proper, more that I like. You know, if there's a fan out there that likes some of my previous projects more, that's cool. But like, this one, I feel like overall, all around, it really showed the growth through it.
Yeah. Is this your first full project with Rod, the producer?
Yes, I've had beats maybe in the past on projects, but definitely on like tapes and stuff. But this is my first one. Rod produced everything. One producer probably helped on one of the beats with like drums, but he did. Yeah. He went ham.
So what's that connection like in working with him?
Oh, he's not just, I say the same thing about Oswin. Like, they're not just work, like, rapper friends or so, like, they're genuine friends. Like, we hang out, we play video games, we do all the stuff. So that whole process is really dope. I basically lived in his studio, and like, literally no windows, no ventilation, like, just dying in there, and stood there till the project was finished. And we sat down. Sometimes he was like, he would ask me, yo, like, instead of thinking about words, like, just tell me, like, close your eyes and visualize yourself performing before we even make the beat of the song. And he's like, how does everyone feel? How's it feel? And I'll describe the feeling, and from that feeling he'll start chopping up the a beat, and then, you know, we'll build around it. And it was really
so it's a full creative kind of like collaboration between the two of you. It's not just like, hey, listen to this, what I made. It's kind of like he's making it specific.
Sometimes it was like that. There was a few beats we made like that. There was a few times where I came in with verses and ideas and he built around that. There was a few times he came like, yo, this beat is hard, it reminds me of this and that, and you know what I'm saying? So whatever it was, but it was just so dope. We played a lot of Super Smash Bros on the Switch.
Who's better?
It's not even it. Come on.
Rod, a rematch is necessary.
He tried to play Mario Kart now. No. It's over.
Mario Tennis is next. Okay?
Yeah. Right. But yeah, like, it was really like, you know, we had Osmond pulling up, my boy Lev, Denzel, King, like everyone that was on it. And then just having that environment, my environment where I was breaking down internally. I had crazy moments, sad moments, exciting moments created. Like, it was just great. And at the end of it, right when we needed a deadline, we finished it that night, like, you know. And and just put it out.
So did you guys like, in regards to like a deadline for a project, when you're working on it, are you setting it up because you have this creative idea of what's to come next? And are you always setting deadlines on your projects? Or is it kind of like, all right, you're seeing how it comes together, and then as it gets closer, you're like, all right, now we should finish it by now.
It's a lot of those things. I think me personally, I work better with deadlines. Like, I'm one of those artists that just, like, if you don't tell me and something needs to come out, I never think it's perfect. I never think it's done. So I'm going to keep working on it till I die, you know? So, but you have to put stuff out. So there's business. I do have managers. Like, there is business stuff. And I did it with Mellow Music Group. It's where we did distribution and stuff throughout for the project. So with them, they had a tentative release date. And it kind of makes sense. Like, we did it around a time where, like, it lined up with colleges and, like, different stuff, people going back to school and all that stuff. So just to catch those crowds. And then, you know, for instance, like, I want to drop another project soon. So I wouldn't do it, like, in December, last quarter, because that's when all, like, the majors drop. I'm not competing with a Drake album or, you know, like, these people, no one gives a fuck to that caliber. So. Thank you. I agree. I love you, Drake. And then basically, so I would drop first quarter of next year because it's a little quieter there, less content, and also just, you know, you want to space them out so that you don't get, you give your last project enough time to catch some burn, but you don't do it too long so that they forget about you, you know?
So talking about, like, overthinking a project and stuff like that, is there any song that you can go back to and be like, man, the original version might be better, that you probably tinked with too much or touched a little bit too much?
Oh, let me see. Didn't we change something in this one that we had to? No. Oh, you know what? There was two versions of Sincerely Me, the last song on the project. Mm-hmm. And there was two versions to it. This one was more major chords. It was more happy. And the other one was way more sad, like way more minor chords. And we was stuck, me and Rob was stuck on which one, like, and we was both leaning 50-50. I think he was leaning more towards the minor chords as he usually does. We had to call Rod up, and he's there with his, we had to call Osmond up, and he's there with his lady, and they were both like, we think the other one. So we never know how people would have received it otherwise, right. But you know, so no one, they only hear what you put out, but yeah, but there's been situations like that where I had to change stuff up, but that's the most important.
So now, one of your older songs, I had a question about it, which is a song you did with Osmond, actually. Hold on. No Ego? Hold on. No Ego. That's another question I was going to ask you later. No Gives. Yeah.
Wow, which one was No Gives?
That was a long time.
Is that a
That was DeLorean.
Wow. Oh, I got no fucks to give a nigga. No.
Yeah. Was that a sample? Do you know?
The beat that was boom. Who produced that one? That was I forgot who made that beat in particular. It wasn't Cardi. No. You don't make beats, dumbass. Let me see. So, yo, I don't know if it was a sample. I can't be. I can't tell you right now. But after the interview, when it doesn't matter, yeah. I could find out.
Find out, because if that's an original, not a sample, then you might have a lawsuit that you might have to come up with.
Oh, if it's an original, that's not
yes,
a sample?
Yes. Because that same sample or whatever was used by Dave East and Gunna in their song Us. So
then it's definitely not an original. I doubt that they heard
You Never Know
on DeLorean.
You never know.
It's like, we need that sound.
Well, you never know. Maybe even if they didn't do that on purpose.
And I'll never
pay Chris Rivers.
I'll never sue.
Pay him.
I'll never sue Dave East. He's my man.
Right, fine, but Gunna.
We love you, Dave. Huh?
How about Gunna?
I don't know him personally, but if
how about their record label? That's not like a personal attack.
No. I mean, you know what? It's one of those. If I could find out that they somehow heard No Gives on DeLorean years ago when I wasn't even shit, and then decided to steal, then yeah, maybe we got something on our hands, right? Yeah.
No, I had to put that out there. You see, you know, Stylist. No, I'm kidding. I'm not accusing anybody of anything. All right, before someone. All right, but no. Back to the No Ego thing I was just talking about is basically the way you and Osmond have been working together is like, there's no ego, but for the both of you, you know what I mean. I feel like you both of you are just creating, and you know, nobody's trying to like upstage the next person, etc. Where do you get that humbleness from? And that's obviously like something that makes people more able to work together with you and all that. Because certain artists, they want to, you know, if you're making a song together, they want to be the guy on the song and you're featuring or whatever. People really feel that sometimes. But I feel like you guys make songs together and it could be either one of your songs. You know what I mean? It could be on either one of your albums. And that's just how you guys have been working over the years.
We genuinely fuck with each other. I heard on Mike Tyson's podcast, he says it often. He said, men aren't humble. They're meant to be humbled. You know, and life humbled me enough, and I'm assuming humbled him enough to that we don't have these, you know, bravado and this ego that we feel like we're better than other people. Like, if I genuinely fuck with you, then I genuinely fuck with you. And we just have fun. Like, you, and in this industry, you need to operate in a way that you surround yourself with people who you enjoy and that add to your life, because there's enough snakes and just ups and downs and tribulations that's going to, you know, make you lose your mind if you don't got those people around you. So when you do find those people, it's nothing. You know, we're going to make music, we're going to have fun, and it's, you know, we're not going to be, but we always try to outshine the other one in a context of like, in a way, like, he keeps me
pushing each other on.
In that sense, but his success doesn't take away from my success. Like, if anything, him being more successful, we all win. I being more successful, we all win, because we all know each other, we're rising, we're learning from each other. He put me on game to things, vice versa. So there's no way that he could have success, or someone that I love could have success, or even someone I don't even give a fuck have success, and I feel like it's taken away from me. Like, that makes no sense.
Right.
He's just a straight up hater if you feel that way.
His success has nothing to do with yours. That's there's enough fans out there for everybody, in a sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And if you're not trash, then you could, you know, yo, love, guys, love. My fault.
Let it. Before the rude interrupt, no, I'm playing.
You say before they gallivanted upon our media.
So in your last album, you had a 2-year gap between albums. No, I wasn't making a gap joke. No, all right, but you know what? I guess, you know what? It was, you had a 2-year gap. Was that because of your teeth?
If someone ever asked me that question, I'll be hyped. It was. The 2-year gap was because of the fact that I felt like I was trash. To sum it up, like, I felt like the music I was making, I didn't like it at all. And I accumulated fans, and people hate it when I say that, because there's so many people that their lives changed because of my music or whatever it is. But I just felt like the stuff that I heard in my head, I wasn't making it. You know what I mean? I wasn't good enough tonally. I didn't have my ear trained that I couldn't bring this thing that I imagined to the real world. So that 2-year hiatus was me working on my tonal stuff, working on song structure, working on having actual life experiences to learn myself more so I could be more relatable in my music. So I really felt like I needed to grow as an artist, because if I made one more project that I hated, I probably would have quit rapping. You know what I mean? So the Gitu was really one of those projects that, like, it was defining for me, bigger than what it even was. Internally, it was like, yo, if this doesn't become something that I prove to myself that I can make music that I like and that I can actually enjoy the process and be involved, then I'm not gonna do music anymore. Because it's not like like driving Ferraris and have a castle and shit. Like, this is still a grind, it's still a struggle. I'm still on the come up. I'm still doing everything I can and seeing less out of it than I'm putting in. So it's like, you know, if I'm not getting that and I'm not happy and it's not something that I want, then why am I doing this? So I had to reattach myself to that happiness and that purpose, and that's what Gitu was. It was the greatest in the universe. It was me proving to myself that I could be the greatest and overcome that. So, and it took me 2 years to even get the courage to start, and that's what it was.
So you just said something that caught my attention, where is, if you said, if I make one more bad album or album that you don't like, you're going to quit rapping.
Yeah.
So,
not making my priority. Yeah.
So, was there any moment during that 2-year gap where you're kind of feeling the pressure, like, if I don't put something out now, am I even going to be relevant anymore, type of thing?
Oh, yeah. My managers were breathing down my neck. They were telling me how stupid it was. They were telling me, you know, saying certain, and reasonably so. Like, you know, it's like, that's not good for business. It's not. But at the same time, I felt like, you know, getting to a place where the external world and the business was, the way everything was moving, the structure of it was so not what I wanted, both internally and externally. I feel like I've been doing this for about 10 years now. Like, I feel like anything you do for 10 years, it should be better than what it is, where I was at that point before I decided to be more hands-on. Like, you know what I mean? So now, I felt those moments, but I also felt too, like I was deep in depression. I was deep, and that's a Gitu that addresses a lot of it. Greatest in the universe is an affirmation I used to tell myself when I was depressed, to pull myself out of that hole, letting myself know, like, yo, if you really fully applied yourself, you could be the greatest. And yeah, so like that, I felt the pressure, but at the same time, I felt the need to. It was more important for me to have y'all wait, even if I got to start back at square one. It's better doing it in a way that I'm happy. I don't want to be on the 10th level miserable, even if that 2 years knocked me back down. And some things change. Like, there's some people, connections we had in the blogs, that those people moved on to different positions. Now, when we hit up blogs and we don't get the stuff we used to get, we got to establish new connections. There were, different shit that happens when you're away, when you're not doing shit for 2 years. So it is what it is, but I love this now. I feel like I prestiged in Call of Duty. You know, when you start the game over, but you got all the knowledge and all the weapons. So now I'm like, all right, I'm gonna get back to where I was and even further. Wait, you know what I'm saying?
So what makes you decide something like that after a project where, you know, you have like legends featured in that project and Grammy nominated artists, you had Styles P in there, Jeremy Bentham. So what makes you, you know, that should have been like, you know, a huge thing for you. You know, you have these features and these songs coming up. So what makes, instead of like taking that album and making a next step forward, what made you kind of like take this turn and kind of almost like check yourself creatively?
I was a fan of those people. I was a fan of NM. I'm a fan of Styles. I'm a fan of Jaren. I'm a fan of everyone that was on it. When I heard it, the person I liked the least on it was myself. I didn't feel like I was being myself. I didn't feel, you know what I'm saying? So it was one of those things, like, I understand this. It's like I'm walking down this road, right? And though I've come far on this road, there's 10,000 miles still ahead of me. And yeah, back that way, or over here, there's another road, and it may take me more time to get there, but I'm gonna walk that one happily. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know, like, I was fine taking a step back. I was fine because, and it's not ideal, but I know I needed it because, like I said, like, I'd rather walk on a road I'm happy in than drive on one I hate. You know what I mean? And that's what I'm doing now. So that's why I took a step back. And I'm grateful for everyone that was on there, I hope, and everyone that I worked with, and from the producers to the artists to the people behind the scenes and all that stuff. Like, I'm grateful for it. And those projects all meant the world to me, and they got me to where I was and where I am now. But just internally, like, when you know yourself and people think about, like, you're going to critique yourself the most out of anybody. You probably watch these interviews, everybody's had, you're like, oh, I could have did that. I don't know. You know what I mean? But that's how I was. Like, if I don't fuck with myself, then in the long run, how am I gonna get people to fuck me? So I had to learn how to make music I fucked with, because I'll be promoting things embarrassed because I hate the song, and then people be like, yo, I love this, blah blah, and I'm like, oh, that's cool, but I needed their reassurance before I felt good about it, and that's not a good place to be. You know what I'm saying? Now I'm to the point now where I made certain songs on Gitu or whatever, and I'm like, yo, I love this shit. My own manager's like, yo, I don't fuck with it. I'm like, yo, I do not give a fuck what you feel. I fuck with this heavy. I'ma pump this. I'ma, you know, and that's how you gotta feel about your own shit. You know,
actually, that's big words right there, because every creative should feel that way. And I feel like, even personally, sometimes.
But don't do what I did. Like, if I could go back and already have known myself well enough and have been confident in myself and took the time to develop things in a way better than I got to this point sooner, I would have, because those 2 years, if I could have what I have now, but without having that hiatus, when on the ball rolling, then yeah, I would do that. You know what I'm saying? So know yourself enough and have faith in who you are and be comfortable with the level of greatness that you have currently, because my problem was I kept seeing end goal, Chris. I'm like, yo, if I'm not the best that I'm ever going to be, then I'm trash. But you got to appreciate who you are right now, what you can do, and keep pushing. You know what I'm saying?
No, it's all good. I just had to restart it before the camera. Yeah. But so what's something that people should expect from you from your live shows? You know, we're here at SOBs now, you're headlining just for the second time. I know you for a month. This is the second time that you're headlining. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you always do that, but you know, right now Chris Rivers is a shit in my eyes. Tell me, like, what should people expect from you from your live performances?
Oh, man, like, you're going to leave, like, I'm not one of those people that's just going to stand up there and rap to you. Like, you know what I mean? This is going to be an actual experience, like, and it's going to be fun. Usually, I like to do the whole live band. That was my release show. Today, we just got keys, you know, but we're gonna definitely rock it out. There's crowd participation. I get y'all involved. You're not just up there watching someone say words rhyme. Like, you're going to be involved in the experience. And if you're here to have a good time, you will have a great time. You know what I mean? So, it's going to be fun. Okay, so the person who, you know, was behind.
No keys tonight. Yeah, because Rod is not gonna make it. Osmond said he's gonna play keys. So
no, he's gonna play himself. Really?
All right, so you're gonna just unplug it and like just let him kind of. Got you.
Just let him.
One
just
of those, like, you know, the DJs that like don't have anything plugged in, but they're.
Yeah, I'm just here. He's just here for the name, huh? What you said? You never mind.
He's talking on the ground. Yeah, cool. All right, everybody. That was Chris Rivers on the Question Will Be Ever podcast. Make sure to check him out. Follow him.
Dragons and Rivers on Instagram. Follow me there. I'm on there the most. Chris Rivers Universe is the website, but definitely follow me.
That's where you can get the merch. ChrisRiversUniverse.com.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? Stay tuned. We got so much going on. So, you know, and this guy's great, man. We love y'all.
Thank you. Don't forget, subscribe. Hey, you point to those two corners, I point to these two. So we get one of those. Subscribe to one of those. Thank you, everybody. Make sure to tune in. 5 stars everywhere. Check out our YouTube.
Too much brain. I walk outside in the public, fried like cullet. Ooh, I love it. Fuck a whodunit. I ain't never fronting. Sheep start buzzing. Yeah, we run. Then we run outside to the money. Self love stunning. Long as I'm stunning and I stay blunting. Bitch, you bugging. Yeah, you can step up to me if you want it. I been deprived. I drift inside my mind. They reveal the plot that sits inside the lines. But I define existence. I'm divine. Then pigs rolled up and treat us like we're swine. Chains and whips as artificial binds. And a basic bitch get farther if she's fine. Dumb nigga smarter if he shines. And we're convinced that money equals time. Knock that nigga out. Daddy told me how. Facts, confident as fuck. Mama gon' be proud. Facts, diamonds in the rough. We got the glow, we out. Facts, diamonds in the rough. We beat the diamonds in the rough.